for $10,500. 960 plus another 10,500. Also outstanding was our Pacifica Radio Archives central service costs for the month of November, December, and January. Total for that was $6,123. That's the central services for Pacifica Radio Archives. November, December, and January. Total amount there was $6,123. We had tower rental costs. I believe this is rent. It doesn't say that, but I'm pretty sure it is. Tower rental costs for January, $6,271.08. $6,271.08. We also had another central services costs for the months of September, October, November, December, and January outstanding of $63,200. That's September, October, November, December, and January, $63,200. We have an outstanding Nielsen data expense and says here the services are currently suspended. That cost is $6,960. Okay. Nielsen data, $6,960. And we have a contractor for media services outstanding for the months of November and December, $2,000. That's contractor media services for November and December, $2,000. Total outstanding payables as of January 31st, $112,878.50. I'll pause there. Anybody miss anything?
Vanessa?
So I have two questions. One, I will ask to Jerry because I just don't want to put Kamau on the spot. And the others for Kamau. The one to Kamau is in terms of the budget, and please forgive me if I missed it. Do you have, as the treasurer, do you have the information that you need for the budget? And if not, why not? If it's okay to ask that.
I think, yeah, it'll be answered, as I continue this report. I mean, that's not the end of the report. I'm pausing there because it gets a little, you know, blurry eyed with numbers and things. So I just wanted to make sure everybody was caught up. But yeah, we'll go through. We had a couple of different discussions this week. One facilitated, by the PMB chair, and then also one that we had, of course, with our meeting on Monday. So more to come with that in a minute.
Okay. So the question I'd like to ask Jerry, is if I'm remembering Jerry's report, I believe he said that we were pretty much caught up in terms of paying our bills, but, our treasurer just laid out, substantial bills that are not paid and that are, you know, months behind. So I'm just trying to get a better understanding from Jerry what he means when he says we're caught up, assuming I heard him correctly.
Some of the outstandings were for January payments, and we just crossed over into February, so we didn't have arrears that we had to deal with, where we've had arrears stack up before, where we had several months that were due. There were some items that were stacked up from, I believe, October, November, but there were four services that are now terminated. So we had to pay the arrears and then terminate the contracts. So we're not caught up, but we're not as far behind as we had been in the past.
Okay, so when you said caught up, that's what you meant.
Well, kind of caught up. Again, it's January payments that are due, and we're in early February. We'll be making those payments shortly. But again, I always hate to have to say it, WPFW is still living paycheck to paycheck. It is why it is important that we go into the next upcoming pledge drive so that we can raise the funds so that we can stay current. If we did not have the upcoming pledge drive, we'd get in serious trouble.
So let me just ask a follow-up question, Jerry. If I'm remembering Kamau's report, I believe he mentioned several bills like central services, et cetera, that are multiple months overdue. So I guess I'm trying to figure out multiple months overdue relative to your statement that we're caught up, and then your explanation that, well, you were referring to January and talking about payments that are due in February.
Well, one of the items that Kamau did mention was central services that were due to Pacifica Radio Archives. We've got a relationship with Pacifica Radio Archives that is really a very strong relationship because we're one of the only units in the foundation that supports those central service payments. They've not been getting payments at all from some of the other units. So we pay what we can, and we have to stretch things out a little bit on things that are not really, really mission critical to the operation of the station. The priorities, of course, are payroll and health care, and then, of course, the rent. But it's always kind of snug. But on most of the important ones, we're not really behind. And the relationships are still very strong.
Okay. So let me just end by saying why I asked. Based on the way you answered the question, we're pretty much caught up, or whatever it was you said, we're caught up. Whenever you or any management representatives provides an answer about finances or anything, I guess I'm trying to feel assured that I can interpret it as a reasonable person would interpret the English language as it's stated, and that there was a disconnect to me based on what you said relative to the specific information that Kamau then provided. So that's my concern. It was inconsistent with the answer that you gave. Those are all the questions I have.
And I do get it. And I apologize if it sounds rosy, and it is not.
All right. Kamau, continue, please.
Thank you, Dennis. Some short notes and minutes from the meeting. You all do have this now. It was sent out a little bit late, but I'll read through it. There was this request from our member that we receive, that members of the committee, receive detailed reports from station management prior to the meeting so that they may prepare properly and answer, respond with questions. As Jerry noted earlier, there was a new purchase made of a computer for the administrative assistant so that she will now be able to process financial transactions through Great Plains software. And that's a really an onboarding learning process right now for her. So as she gets going, that will become more robust. My expectation, and this has to be worked out further with the national office and local management here, is that we'll get some more timely and accurate reporting with the Great Plains being a local software for us. So more to come there. There was some discussion around how the accounting for the chief engineer is done, and that some more information is needed so that we are properly accounting for the chief engineer's work. and how that's being compensated. There was discussion. Well, I'll hold that around the relocation, I guess. Dennis, will you tell me? Well, okay.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about this in a minute. The national office did provide us with a very, very, very preliminary first quarter report of the financial statements. There's still some more work to be done, so they cannot be issued. So those are not part of the finance report. But it does indicate that through the first quarter, which is October, November, and December months, the station right now has a net loss of about $10,000. So for as much, and this is my own caveat, so this is me interpreting the numbers, for as much as the some anxiety we had in and around the financial information, $10,000 to me isn't a hefty loss, and hopefully with the scrub and a more updated number, we may come closer to a break even, as all good nonprofits should. There was some discussion in and around the media expense that was still outstanding of $2,000 and why that contract was not canceled. I think we went over that already. Some suggestions for fundraising. Some of the members suggested that the U Street Jam be brought back in as a potential fundraiser. As Jerry mentioned, the next fund drive is February 19th through March 11th with a goal of $300,000. There was a discussion around the rent for the studio room that's still being rented out. And I guess we'll bring that up also later. The Friends of WPFW was also another fundraising idea, in which we'd have a variety show, a kind of DC's Got Talent music, also kind of dovetailing with something called the WPFW Listener Group, which is something that was started some time ago, but actually still exists. And then, of course, there was a postcard fundraiser that was suggested, where the programmers could issue out postcards. And I guess this was a program that was done in the past. The GM has a ability to print these postcards, and I guess those will be circulating soon. I'll have Jerry confirm that. You all have the list of the detailed outstanding payables that I read off. That's also attached in what we submitted. And then, of course, the cover sheet. Okay, we don't issue the bank statement, but there is a cover sheet giving you the information of where the balances are coming from that I read off. So that you'll see those balances on the sheet. So that's backup and support and confirmation for the information that we're reading. The next finance committee meeting will be Monday, March 6th, 7 p.m. We'll have a Zoom invite out for that. And that's the committee's report.
Okay.
Any further questions?
Well, that perfect timing. Before the questions from the board, it's actually 8 o'clock, and so I'm going to open for community comment, and I am going to step away. Minerva Sanders is now officially the host of the meeting. John Tatum is the co-host. Next up is community comment, and you can follow the agenda from there. Thank you all. Ciao.
Okay, everyone, and just as Dennis mentioned, we are now at the part in the meeting for community comment. So for the community, are there people available that would like to speak at this time? Okay, I see two hands up. I'm going to start with Betty Shaw.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Prayerfully, everyone as well. Primarily, I just have a question. And after listening to everyone speaking thus far, I can probably answer my own question, but I will present it nevertheless. I have been, at the end of the year, through my financial entity, arranged to send a significant amount according to me, as a donation to WPFW. Again this year, as last year, well, 2021-22 donation period, I have not gotten timely confirmation of that donation. I send emails, I leave messages on the phone asking, trying to find out whether or not the station has received it. Sadly and unfortunately, again this year, I'm going through the same problem, and I feel I should not do that. If you don't have the system set up to accept such donations, then that's something I would like to know. So is there someone that I can talk to directly to find out? Talking to Mr. Parris, I've got him on the phone, and he tells me, you know, he's in his car, and he will call me when he gets back to the station, and I never get any response from him. And to me, that's not acceptable. That's why I need to know who I can talk to directly. Katia, the middle of 2022, she took care, finally, of my donation gifts because it was, I guess, lost in space somewhere. Unacceptable. I don't, you know, even if you're going through financial troubles, you've been in business for too long. This isn't nothing new. And even if you just send an email confirmation at a minimum, that would be acceptable.
Michelle, this is Jerry Parris. I'm still on. Can I respond?
Yes, please respond.
Okay. We have taken numerous calls like yours, and we process them one at a time, and we thought that we've caught all of them, and I don't know how we've missed yours, particularly if you've spoken to me, because I communicate with our office assistant on a daily basis in getting these processed. The priority has been to get people their gifts that they had not received, and if yours is just is a email confirmation, we just recently were discussing a problem that we have with confirmations for tax purposes where the system had a threshold of $2,000. And I recently had to say anybody who made any donation should get a receipt if they ask for it. You're one of those people. I don't know how you haven't gotten one. Somehow offline, I need to get your information so that we can take care of and get you some type of receipt for your donation. I apologize. We process these on a daily basis, though.
So are you saying that your automatic email response is starts at a level of $2,000? Is that my understanding?
Yes, for tax purposes, for people who need tax receipts, the threshold is $2,000.
May I ask why that level?
I think it's what's required by law.
Excuse me, everyone. Anita, please. I wanted to clarify something. Don't, you can and you'll be called in time, okay?
Yeah, because we were all stepping on each other. Nobody. It didn't make any sense. So,
and I couldn't hear anyone.
So. Neither could I. Where are we now?
You were saying, according to law, that $2,000 was the limit. And I was getting ready to ask if you can please provide me that statute in the law that dictates that. I would really like to know because I've never heard of such a thing. Because WPFW is not the only one that I've made a $1,000 donation to. And I have gotten confirmation from all of them except for WPFW.
Okay, can I ask you something?
Okay, excuse me.
Who's this?
This is Sue. Okay, so what Sue, I want to say is...
Sue, I'm going to ask that, please. There are a lot of people with their hands
okay.
up.
Okay, I can't figure out how to put my hand up. Okay.
Okay, well, I got you.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think that... I'm sorry, Chair, if I could.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think... Are we not, we're not supposed to be responding during community comment, correct?
You're correct. Board members are not.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kamal, for that. This is for the community, in essence, to have their say. So, Anita and Sue, save your comments.
Actually, I'm out of place because I am a board member.
Right. And that's why I said your name and also Anita.
Thank you.
Okay. And, Ms. Shaw.
Yes.
I think that, you have raised some very valid questions and the general manager has stated that he will look into this for you. If you want to provide him your information, Jerry, are you on the, you're on the phone, right? So you wouldn't be able to see anything that would come to you directly in a chat? Or do you want her to send it to an email?
Yes, could you send it to my email? I'm on the phone.
And also, since this is the LSB, Ms. Shaw, if you, in email, send something to me, I'll get it to the chair so he can also kind of help follow up on this for you. Okay?
Okay, so may I have your... full name and your email, please.
Sure. It's Minerva, Minerva, Sanders, S-A-N, D like David, E-R-S. And my email is msmsanders19@gmail.com.
Okay, let me repeat that, please.
Okay.
Minerva Sanders. M as in Mary, S as in Sam, M as in Martha, S as in Saturday, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, D as in David, E as in Edward, R as in Register, S as in Saturday, 19@gmail.com.
That's correct, Ms. Shaw. That's correct. All right.
I will get that to you. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. And Tony Leon?
All right. Thank you, Minerva. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay. Thank you. I'll try to be as brief as possible. I have several comments. I'm going to start off by saying that, a lot of people who cannot get in touch with management, like Betty Shaw, just had a problem getting her answer, her question answered. She'll be able to come to an LSB meeting and at least get an abbreviated, answer for a question. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out, but, she's not getting, the response any other kind of way or any other, LSB or a public person who has a question and not getting an answer. They should be able to come here and get it. Vanessa asked the question that I had regarding, Jerry's statement about, being caught up, and kind of caught up. That was an interesting answer. But I'm not going to leave that right there. I'd like to know if somebody can speak on the status of the LSB show. The LSB show did not happen for January. And I know Sabu has left, but just wondering if there's a replacement in place for him. Also program committee meetings. Program committee meetings have not happened for months now. The program committee, I assume it probably won't happen again this month because the meeting is not even posted on the website, as it should. So just curious about what's going on with that. Curious about the, process for filling vacancies. I see we brought, or you brought one person on tonight. But what is the status of the runner-up, the rest of the runner-ups, and will there be appointees appointed? There are people who are willing to, step up and fill those vacancies, and are curious on what the status is on it. Because right now, as it stands, you do not have the full complement of representatives for the listeners or the, staff. And so they're not, neither is properly represented. Also, why does it take, according to the WPFW website, why does it take 2.5 months for a donor to receive their premium? Well, to be exact, it says up to 2.5 months. That's a long time. I want to welcome Esther Iverum, to the IPD position. Thank her for stepping up, to do that job. That's a tough job, but I know she's up for it based on my experience with her. So far, I've noticed that the grid is more up to date and there are more program announcements, forward programming and such. And, the sound is, the broadcasts are much more, professional. And to Esther, I'm hoping that you will be attending the programming committee meetings and, is willing to continue the work that the programming committee started years ago, but could never move forward with, i.e. the programmer bill of rights and the grievance procedure, to name a few. So that's all I have. If somebody is willing to give short answers to my comments, I'd appreciate that.
Chair, this is Vanessa with a point of personal privilege. I understand that the LSB members, we can't comment, but can we at least provide responses to the questions so the questions just aren't being asked and not responded to?
I think that when there are questions that we can answer, if we're part of a given committee, then you can respond to the community regarding that. I would hope that the responses are such that it's not in support of people, but actually talking about the committee and what's going on with the issue. So if you want to speak in that manner, which program are you wanting to share information about the program committee, Vanessa?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. Then okay. If go ahead, please.
Okay. So Tony, you ask a lot of questions. I'm trying to remember all of them. In terms of the, Donna Grimes is the chair. I don't know if Donna's here yet or if she's coming. But I am a member of the program committee, have been for a couple of years. And Donna Grimes is chair, and there was a break in committee meetings for I think the last 2 or 3 months, at least the last 2 months. I believe that a meeting, I'd have to look on my calendar, and I'm using the same phone to speak. So, you know, there's a lot of coordination for me. So, but I believe that a program committee meeting is scheduled for this month. I'm not sure. I believe that it is.
Okay, excuse me. And I see, Donna, that you're on. So, Vanessa.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay, Donna's here. Okay.
To speak.
And Donna can answer the question about the programmer bill of rights, because I believe that was passed last year.
Okay, well, let's let Donna speak. Thank you, Donna, for stepping up.
Thank you so much. I put the information in the chat, but Vinnie has the information. We meet on the fourth Monday of the month. We will meet this month, this 27th of February. The meeting starts at 7 o'clock, and we meet by free conference call. So I put that, Tony, if you can see in the chat. I put the call number and the code in the chat. Okay, so we do have a meeting scheduled and an agenda set for that, and we have not met. And I will reach out to Esther to invite her, now that I know her role, to invite her to attend that meeting as well. The LSB show, I did coordinate that. I was going, Sabu is out of the country. I'm picking up the programming of the LSB show for now. And I was going to do a show this month, but I was not able to do it. I called in and asked if regular programming with Ron Pinchback could happen. And then I'll resume working with Sabu on that. And so the programming committee will continue to produce that. And Sabu is stepping back, but he will be still an advisor. And he was out of the country. I was in the hospital. There were reasons why we could not do the show on the final Friday of the month.
I don't call her.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. Tony is, so those are, please join us at the, programming meeting if you're available. And I see Ramon has been very good and about and patient. So Ramon, your time to speak, sir.
Thank you very much. And, good evening to everyone. First off, to Mr. Morrison, I would like to thank you for your braveness in becoming an LSB member. With your past experience with firefighting, you would have been very much usable 2 or 3 years ago on the LSB, because there were a lot of interpersonal fires and a lot of firefights going on. But as of about the last year and several months, the fires have gone down quite a lot. So now you will be able to just contribute to the LSB and to the station. So I thank you for participating, and welcome aboard from the listeners. I'd also like to thank Jerry for mentioning Zarina Shakur. She was a wonderful, beautiful, gentle woman. She was smart. She was very giving and very talented. Jerry, I think you can remember some years back, you and I shared the stage with her and others on her television show that she had on Arlington County Cable. So she was a valuable asset to community radio and TV for the WPFW radio airwaves and for the WPFW family and community broadcasting around the country. She was a sweet woman, and she'll be greatly missed. Thank you, Vanessa, for coming in and answering a question from a member of the public. And I'm glad the misconception was cleared up, because I fought for over 3 years, about a half a dozen or so years ago, to stop the LSB from what I called at that time hiding and not answering the questions of the public. I thought it was rude, and it was finally passed by the LSB that if you can give a pertinent, although short, answer to the public when they take their time and trouble to ask questions, that it should be done. And I'm glad it's continuing to be that way. As far as for the F-bomb that was dropped a few times on the air, I sincerely hope, and Jerry, I will ask you to check into this, I sincerely hope that WPFW is not being unfairly punished for this more than other people, because last night, even though the State of the Union address was on, there was a basketball game that was one of the most watched games in the past 25 years on prime time in LeBron James's acceptance speech after he became the leading scorer in the history of the NBA. He dropped the F-bomb, and it got through on TNT and worldwide television. So I think if PFW is going to be hit for that, everybody should be hit for it in the same ferocity. So I would hate to see that we are being unfairly punished over other people. So that's about all I have to say. Thank everyone. Take care.
All right. Thank you for your comments. And Ellen, your hand, Eileen, your hand's up.
Yes. Now that I've timed out on the LSB, I can be part of the community for a bit. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on a few things that were mentioned earlier. I want to really encourage the LSB to follow up on getting out the acknowledgments and the thank you letters and the premiums. Katia had, you know, half a year ago, she told us that she was having problems getting the premiums out, but no, she didn't need help, but she didn't have enough money, but she wouldn't tell us how much money she needed to get. I don't know what the real story was, but that really needs to be followed up on. If there's a problem in the process, let's figure it out. I'm sure, you know, there are a lot of smart people on the board. We can figure it out, and there are people who are willing to help with it. As far as the acknowledgement or thank you letters, everybody who makes a donation needs to get a receipt, a thank you, even if it's just for $2. So, you know, that's the law. That's where the law is. But let me just finish, Jerry. So, you know, what's the hitch in the system? Is it, I don't know, the system we use to, I don't think we, as far as I can tell, we don't have a decent customer relations management database. We just have our in-house system, and maybe probably not. Sorry, Minerva.
I'm sorry. I did not realize I was not muted. Excuse me.
No problem. Yeah, I think we need a better CRM system, whichever one we decide on. I know that Pacifica owns one. Money is owed on it. Might not be able to get it, but there are simpler ones. There are free ones you can find on the interwebs to use, at least as a temporary measure. You know, just dump all your information into them and you can set it up to get done what we need done. So I don't know, Jerry wanted to reply to something, but I want to know what the holdup is or what the hitch is in all this, and why can't we solve it? Shouldn't be that hard, seems to me. Should Minerva, do we want to let Jerry speak his piece there?
Jerry, can we have how much time left in about 7 minutes left in community comment. Okay.
Yes.
Jerry, can you give us a short version? Because I also see Kamal has his hand up. Okay.
So briefly, yes, there's been some communication on the side. And thank you, Eileen, for texting me, because I was completely wrong in saying that there was some type of federal order saying that there was a $2,000 donations threshold. It was completely arbitrary in the software that we've been using. And we had a recent discussion about it at work, and we dropped that to zero. Anybody who asks for a receipt should get a receipt. We should generate receipts just automatically, but anybody that asks for acknowledgement gets acknowledgement. There's no threshold at the station anymore. And we will start processing that immediately with the upcoming pledge drive.
But is that going to get letters out to people? They shouldn't have to ask for them.
Yeah. So, Jerry, your response about the upcoming pledge drive, we've got people that before this pledge drive are asking for information that they need for tax purposes. So if we're going to be doing something ASAP, I think those people have precedence over individuals. The pledge drive hasn't even started. So do we have someone to work on that issue?
Yes, we do. It's the highest priority. We deal with it every single day. I'm sorry that we missed Ms. Shaw somehow. We will dive through it as of tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, we hear you. And Kamal, I see your hand.
Just to finish on the premiums, Jerry. Have you got a system for catching up with all those? Or what's going on?
Yeah, we do have an inventory of outstanding premiums, and we get calls on a daily basis, and we respond to the calls as they come in. It happens in real time. What you're saying is for us to go back over the backlog and address those. And typically, we try to before each drive. Most of the premiums are taken care of. What we're left with are the thank yous and the receipts for tax purposes.
Okay, Jerry, I hear you make that statement, and please, I'm going to say that all premiums haven't been addressed, and that's all I'm going to say. But basically, we do need, and if you need help from the board, we're here saying we're ready to work. Someone needs to reach out to us so that we can assist. And I see hands up. I'm going to go to Kamal. And thank you, Eileen.
Kamal, please get these contacts so that we can make this happen. We do need the help. And Annette needs to be in touch with anybody that can help us wade through this process.
All right. We'll be reaching out.
Thank you, Chairs. Just wanted to clear up the discussion in and around charitable contributions. The IRS publication 1771, charitable contributions, substantiation and disclosure requirements, says that any single contribution of $250 or more should be acknowledged in writing to the donor. That is the threshold. Any one single contribution, $250 or more, should be acknowledged in writing to the donor.
There we have it. Then we need to match that, and I will instruct my people to match that at the very least. Again, my position with anybody that asks, it doesn't even matter. If it's even, you know, $100, they should get a written thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, just so we understand what a written thank you is important in terms of public relations. What the IRS is asking is that also on that confirmation, the tax ID for the organization should also be on that letter. It's a very important piece.
Okay. Kamal, is this something that, whatever you're reading and looking at, that you can just do a screenshot or something of it and get it out to the board as well as back to Jerry and staff?
I can eat. Absolutely. I'll email it out now.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamal.
All right. Vanessa.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to respond to Eileen's comment about, the concern about why the acknowledgments were not going out, and that
One second, Vanessa. We're seeing somebody's personal chat at the bottom of the screen. Somebody is.
It doesn't matter. Why this?
Okay. What?
It's just weird. We're seeing somebody's personal business.
Okay. We have someone that continues to provide their comments there. And
that's fine. People.
Oh,
yeah. We're just going to keep going.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. That's going to happen. It pops up and then it goes away. So the comment that was made was that Katia said we didn't have the money. That is not what occurred. Katia said that Jerry said that we didn't have the money. The PD doesn't deal with financial issues. The GM does. The GM was the one.
Okay.
So
thank
just
you.
Just clarifying that.
All right. Thank you. And John?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to remind the board that when board members speak, it does not subtract from community comments time. So, Madam Chair, I believe you said the last time that they had 7 minutes. And so they still have 7 minutes, the community. I would also like to say that in addendum to what Kamal said about boards responding in community comment, the chair is the number one person to respond to the issues that come up from the community, and it is the chair's duty to log those comments and possibly assign those issues to people on the board and, demand that if they take that issue up from the community, that they will personally respond back to the person on those issues. Now, I know that Tony Leon had a list of things, so that list could go to several different board members, but perhaps the chair can assign those issues to different board members, asking, not demanding, asking that they take those issues up, then they respond back to that community person. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And is there anyone else from the community that would like to respond or have comments at this time? All right. The time is now 8:31, and we will move on to the next order of business, which is the development committee proposal. So I need to find out who will be making the presentation regarding the proposal. I think that Ellen, you provided a copy of the information as part of the agenda, correct?
Yes, I did. But you know what? I think the next thing is actually the PNB report.
You know what? You're right. Thank you, Ellen. I just have
You're
this
welcome.
Back and I just flipped right over. Yes, PNB report. Julie, I am so sorry. I don't want to keep you from being able to share the information you have. It's your time.
All right, thanks. I'll try to be fast here. We've had a handful of meetings of PNB since the last PFW LSB meeting. At our January 12th meeting, the executive director reported slightly less stress in making payroll. It's not quite as touch and go as it had been. I think we're still, you know, as has already been mentioned, living fairly hand to mouth. LSB delegates will need to take sexual harassment training at some point. It's probably a few weeks away and you'll hear about it. If you're someone who has to take sexual harassment training as part of your workplace, and so you've already done it and you've got a certificate that says that you've already taken the training somewhere else, you can probably substitute that. But this is a thing that we do for the CPB. At our January 19th meeting, the general counsel for Pacifica reported out on the Pacifica versus New Day suit and a tentative decision by the court. It was only a tentative decision, and so a formal decision will be coming later. One of the things that several issues at play there, but one of the issues was that when we had that bylaws referendum in 2021, that's what this suit is basically about. When we had that bylaws referendum in 2021, we had two classes of voters, listeners and staff, and the vote failed, the bylaws referendum failed in the staff vote, and it passed in the listener vote, although it was, you know, there was a divide between listeners on the West Coast and listeners on the East Coast. But at any rate, the New Day folks were trying to argue that if you add those two vote classes together, that the bylaws referendum passed and that, you know, they should have put the New Day bylaws in place. And when our general counsel argued before the judge, pointed to the specific part of the bylaws that say that we have to vote in member classes like listener and staff, as long as the classes are treated differently. And the New Day folks were trying to argue that the staff class wasn't treated worse than disadvantaged relative to listeners. And then our general counsel and the judge apparently understood what our general counsel argued. So we'll see about that, you know, what the final decision winds up being. It could have come this week, but the fact that it didn't suggests that you know, maybe the judge is thinking about this a little bit more. You know, we have a little bit of a situation with the KPFK LSB, when we weren't able to hold, delegate elections in 2022 because of the lack of funds in Pacifica, which, you know, see my previous comment about just barely being able to make payroll. The KPFK LSB decided, the PNB came up with a motion for what to do, you know, in, because we were postponing the elections until 2023, and the KPFK LSB decided to do something else. So we're trying to kind of corral that situation. We talked about that at our January 26th meeting. We also talked about some austerity measures at the PNB. You know, we used to separately pay a recording secretary and a parliamentarian, and we don't really have the funds to pay them. So we're going to see what we can do to do without those two paid positions. On January 31st, we set the 2023 PNB. It's just getting going. We had elections for pro tem chair and secretary. And then we met on it, just in case those of you aren't sure, January 31st was a Tuesday, which is a highly unorthodox day to meet for the PNB. But at any rate, it met the bylaws provision of making sure that we sat the 2023 PNB directors in the month of late January. And then on February 2nd, we had a meeting where we started talking about, the elections of officers, and we had, you know, all the PNB members introduce themselves, all the PNB directors introduce themselves to each other. At the moment, there are 21 PNB directors. 18 of those directors are, people who were directors last year. So it's only three new individuals who are directors this year, but of course they don't know everybody else necessarily. So that's one reason why you go around and have introductions. You know, and then there's, you know, I can't really say much about what we've talked about, in closed session, except that I will say one thing, which is that, and members of this LSB may be familiar with, the fact that our bylaws contain means to discipline a member by expelling them, discipline a delegate, and the same as can be true of directors. And at any rate, in a meeting on January 27th, we expelled a member, a delegate of the KPFK LSB for conduct that was detrimental to the best interest of the organization. And as you may be aware, or maybe you're not aware, but you have to have a 2/3 vote to do that. And so it's a serious business. So those kinds of disciplinary hearings are always held in closed session. But at any rate, you know, now that it's behind us, I can report that we did expel the KPFK delegate. And that's what I have. I don't know if Vanessa or Sue or Donna want to add anything to what I've reported on.
This is Vanessa. I don't have anything to add. Thank you.
Good job, Julie. Nothing to add, Donna.
I agree. I have nothing to add.
All right. Thank you, Julie, for the report, for the PNB. And I have to go back. I see that, I jumped right to the development committee proposal. We have the program/LSB show committee report questions. Donna, is there, do you have information at this time or anything you want to share other than what you shared earlier?
I have no new information. I put the meeting call information in the chat for anybody who wants it. And Vinny is supposed to have posted that. I'm going to follow up with him on that. But there are a lot of issues which you got to work on. And actually, I would just add one thing, and that we really, really want new members. So Tony Leon, anybody out there who is interested, you don't have to be on the LSB to join. We are welcoming a new member, Bill Curtis. And, but we really need some new members. Thanks. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Donna. So now we come down to the development committee proposal. And I know that Art Hyland and Irene Adams worked on that. So you guys have...
Hi, Rivera?
Yes. Yes.
Hi, this is Thomas. How are you all? Good evening, everybody.
Okay, Thomas.
All right, sorry I'm coming in late. I had a really packed schedule for today. On the program committee report on the LSB.
Okay. Do you have a comment?
What's the status? I don't know the status. What are we doing?
Just a moment. Go ahead, Donna. And
Madam Chair, thank you. We will have, we do anticipate an LSB show this month. I have already contacted two people to be a part of that, and I'm working on producing that for this month, for the last Friday of the month. And from there,
that's good. I think we should have it.
In the committee. I'm sorry.
That's good. I think we should have it. So if I can be of help, I'd be glad to help.
Okay. I'll be back in touch, Thomas. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. And thank you, Thomas, for letting us know that you had joined the meeting. All right, and
I keep
making this call for a development committee proposal. So, Art or Irene, who would like to speak, please?
I'm going to let Irene go.
All right. Irene?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute, and I was trying to get off mute. At the last LSB meeting, the question was brought up as to what the future of the development committee would be and what it looked like. I volunteered at the time to become chair of that, and I was tasked with providing a direction in which the development committee should go. And there were a few volunteers that would have said that asked to join that committee as well. I volunteered to chair. I came up with a draft charter and work plan that I submitted to the executive board earlier this week. Basically, I thought that Kathleen did an excellent job on the charter. It outlined all the things that a development committee should be doing, except one thing. Development crosses the lines of all fundraising activities, whether you're a program committee, whether you're an outreach committee, development should have a hand in that. And, I added those. I revised the submitted charter that was given to reflect that. Art and I, in the work plan, decided that there were some very high level things that we needed to pay close attention to immediately. And one is, of course, the newsletter. The newsletter is something that assists with marketing. We will make an attempt to review the marketing material that that is out there so that we can see if it needs to be brushed off and dusted out or dusted off and brushed out and make sure that they are viable. Review thank you gifts and functionality is also high on our list. We are appalled at the fact that we are not, that gifts and premiums are not acknowledged. And that is one of the top things that we intend to look at. It's in our work plan. And we also want to create a calendar of events so that one, we know what fundraising activities are coming up, fund drives. We tend to work with some of the staff at WPFW, Jerry included, and Vinny has also work, volunteered to work with us, this, and creating this calendar so that everybody knows what we're doing and knows the fundraising activities, and we can all participate, have the opportunity to participate in the fundraising activities. There are a few things in the work plan. I'm not sure what, if the LSB will agree with me that these things are the top of our list, but it is there, and it is in draft, and I welcome any and all comments on this work plan, and any input that you have. Yesterday I attended the outreach committee meeting, and they noted, and we have a few other things that need to be added to the calendar and had added to the events that are coming up. Gloria Turner does expect to have the U Street Jam. She is nailing down a venue for that. We also have the Blues Festival. She gave us a tentative date for that as well. We now have specific dates for the February fund drive, but we'd like to get some tentative dates as well for the future fund drives. And there will be another event that involves Nat Turner meets Langston Hughes, which we're very excited about. And we intend to assist Gloria Turner in that as well.
Okay.
And I guess the discussion here was basically around whether or not the development committee is an entity within itself, by itself, or under the outreach committee. My stance is that the development committee can be an entity by itself, but it supports all other committees and makes sure that we're involved in any fundraising activities by assisting with the marketing and the fundraising activities. So if there are any questions,